Let me say good afternoon to everyone and want to welcome those that are worshiping with us via the conference call. Brother Horace Stroud, the local minister for the Highland Heights Church of Christ. And again, we want to extend a hearty welcome to you and thank you for worshiping with us on this afternoon. And we worship according to Acts 2:42 and verse 47, following those five acts of apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer and also praising God. And if you're on the call on this afternoon, you're not a Christian. You've been invited, as the scripture says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. We want you to be added to the Lord. We want you saved from your past sins that all we all have committed. And we'll share that with you on this afternoon at the close of the message. But for right now, if you're with us on this morning, we talked about Paul's first letter to Timothy and how at the close of that letter, he spoke to him that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we talked about that on this morning, but we also want to find in Peter's letter, in his first letter to those Christians, Peter talked about also about eternalness when he said from the scripture, who has called us unto his eternal glory. So Paul wanted those Christians to know, those that were going through trials and tribulations, that God had prepare for those that were called unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at a few of those verses on this afternoon to encourage us on this afternoon from the Word of God. We'll begin at verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter said to those Christians, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The word casting means to leave. Peter was telling those Christians to leave all their cares upon God. Why? Because God cares for those Christians. The word care here means when we have fear or nervousness about what might happen. Basically, it's called anxiety. Sometimes as Christians, we have anxiety about things that are in the future. And what Peter was telling them was to cast all those anxious moments that you have, things that you're concerned about, you're nervous about, you're fearful about. Peter told those Christians to give those to the Lord because he cares for you. The psalmist writer said in Psalm 55, verse 22, something similar. When he said in Psalms, the 55th division, verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Know what he says now. The psalmist writer says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Why? Because God will sustain you, and if I live according to God's will, he said he shall never allow the righteous to be moved. The word sustain means to provide what you need. When you're going through stuff, God will give you that which you need. And so Peter says, after letting them know that they should give all their concerns, all their cares to the Lord, then Peter said, our responsibility as a Christian. He says, be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So Peter was saying to those Christians, so also carries with it a calmness of mind. Peter said, while you're going through those things, you got to calm yourself down. Calm yourself. Then he says, be vigilant. Vigilant is being watchful and able to respond to any emergencies or things that may happen. We have, as a Christian, we got to be watchful, be mindful. You know, we live in a time now that when we go places, we need to always be vigilant. We need to be watchful. You know, when I go to the store, when I go shopping, when I go various places, even going to work, we still need to be vigilant, be watchful, and ready to respond to any danger or an emergency. And he tells us why. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, the word devil means one who accuses man before God. He makes false statements before God, as he did in Job chapter 1 concerning Job. He made false statements to God about Job. He does the same thing to God regarding us. And then Peter says, he's like a roaring lion. Yeah. Because of the fearfulness that he chases Christians with, like a roaring lion. When lions are chasing a deer or whatever he's chasing, game he's chasing. Well, he says the devil is like us in the same way. He's pursuing us. And his purpose is not only to capture us, but Peter says he want to devour us, meaning he wants to destroy us. He wants to break you as a Christian. He wants to break you. And that's why he chases. And the roaring lion, and again, we find that if you have looked at a roaring lion, one of the reasons for the roar of a lion is to bring fear in those to whom he may be chasing. So they'll freeze and not know what to do. But we want to, as Peter says, how do you deal with that? You got to be vigilant. You got to be sober. I have to be calm in my mind. Don't allow myself to get frustrated and angered and agitated about things in life. Calm myself down that I can deal with the devil. And then Peter says, whom resist? And then he tells us how. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter says to those Christians, you got to resist the devil, meaning you have to deal with the attack of the devil. You know, James said that also in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 talks about dealing with the devil. James says in James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's our part of it. You know, we have to be able to withstand the devil. We'll talk about that as we look at the text. But Peter says to them, you got to resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, my faith has to be rock solid. I am immovable Why? Because my trust is in God. He said, knowing that there are similar things or the same things that you are going through, other Christians that are in the world are going through those things too. You're not the only one that have financial challenges. We talked about this morning. You're not the only one that have health issues. You're not the only one challenged by your job. There are other Christians that are going through similar challenges. And the devil is on the attack trying to get the Christian to quit in his walk with the Lord. But Peter said, your responsibility, don't move. Don't move. That word steadfast means you are firm. You're immovable. And then he says, but the God of all grace who has called us, and this is my title, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. So now, note what Peter says in this, because he has called us. You are a Christian. God has called you that you might receive an eternal weight of glory. That's why you were called. And so Peter lets us know how that is accomplished. Understanding that God is the God of all grace. God can show you favor that no one else can show you. Why? Because he's God. And he has called us. And we know that the calling, according to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, and the verse is number 14, Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, let them know in verse number 14 of 2 Thessalonians, he said, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Two. The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've called. We've been called. And then Paul said to them, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. So we got to hold on. Stand fast in the teaching that you receive. Stand fast. He said, whether it's preaching or by letter, we ought to stand. And Peter says, after you've gone through some stuff, know what he says. After that, you have suffered a while. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to experience some stuff. But what that will do for you on the backside, Peter says, it'll make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Peter says, the word perfect here means to restore one to service for the Lord. You know, sometimes you experience some things, and sometimes life will take the wind out of your sail. But Peter says, after you have gone through that trial or that tribulation or that affliction, what it's going to do for you or what God will do for you through his grace, he'll restore you to service. You know, you kind of sometimes, it's like they say, you catch your second breath. And sometimes as a Christian, we need to catch our second breath and get back on fire for the Lord. Not only that, he said, God would allow you to be established. The word established is similar to steadfast in that you'll become stable, not moving. I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to be faithful. The Lord has restored me. I've gone through this trial. The Lord has restored me. And now I'm stable. I'm not going nowhere. And I'm ready. When Peter said resist, I'm ready to deal with the attacks of the devil. And I'm going to deal with him successfully. Because James told me if I resist him, then he'll flee. That's my responsibility, to deal with him. Not only that, Peter said, the Lord will strengthen you. Not only that, the Lord will give you strength that you're able to deal with the attacks. How do I get strength? Strength in the faith. Verse 9. My strength comes from the word of God. When I go in and read about what Job went through and the afflictions that Job went through and how the devil attacked him went after him and how he was able to withstand. Let us go back to Job and look at a few verses where we'll see the purpose of the devil and how he attacks those that are Christians. Job, meet me in the first chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I want you to see the devil, how he works, and how the Lord works on this afternoon. The Bible says in Job chapter number 1, and the verse is number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. That's the devil. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and from in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Then the Lord asked him a question. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? The word perfect here means a mature and an upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for not? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to the face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. And so the devil began to afflict Job with various trials, lost his family, lost what his possessions. But Job never, ever gave up on the Lord. He said in verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We're going to go through some things. The devil can attack us, but if we hold to the Lord, as our title says, he has called us unto his eternal glory. And then Peter closes here. And we'll close in verse 11, where he says, to him be glory and dominion forever. Peter says that all glory and all dominion belongs to the Lord. So our responsibility, I encourage us this afternoon, we've been called unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We have to be in Christ. I said this morning, in order to have that hope of eternal life, one has to be in Christ. That life is in Christ. If you're here this afternoon and you're not in Christ, we want you to know from the book of Romans how one become a Christian. In Romans chapter number 1, we first find in verse 15 and 16, Paul, in speaking to the Romans, says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul shared with those, and if you're on the call tonight and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, all the Christians are in, have been added to the Church of Christ. And so how does one do that? One must first hear the gospel. The three facts of the gospel found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. And that is God's, from verse 16, that is God's power to save a person from their sins, if you believe that. And then Paul also shared with them, so you have to hear the gospel, believe it. And Paul also said to them in Romans 2 and 4, how that the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God should lead a person to repentance. He said, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So one must repent. What is repent? I repent of all the sins that I've done. I repent of those things and I ask forgiveness and I turn to God. Then when I turn to God, why am I repenting? Because in Romans 3:23, Paul reminded them, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I must realize that my sins is the reason that Christ had to die for my sins on the cross. And Paul said that to them in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I must believe that. That Christ died for my sins. And so what I must do to become a child of God is to imitate what his son did for us. And we find that in Romans chapter 6. Paul said to them, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you're living on grace if you're in your sin. And then Paul instructed them or reminded them what they did. He said in verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So note, Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, died for sin. What a person must do to come to the Lord, he must die to sin. How is that done? Well, we find that in verses 3 and 4. Paul wrote, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So one must be baptized into Christ and also into his death. And we note that from John 19:34, when Christ died on the cross and the soldier pierced him in the side, out came blood and water. When you die to sin, those same two elements are present, one by faith and one in reality, in the sense that we're baptized in water, but by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. And that what cleanses me of all my past sins. And then Paul said in verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So that old man died as Christ died, but now Christ raises you, raised up into a newness of life. You're starting a new life as a Christian, a child of God, once you rendered obedience to the word of God. So if you're on the call today, we want you to be a Christian. Our prayer, our hope is that you obey the Lord, get with the person, have them get back with us so we can facilitate you becoming a Christian. You've heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, confess according to Acts 8:37 that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, and the Lord will add you to the church. If you are subject to the invitation, we bid you to get in touch with us as we turn our lesson, finished, over to Brother Former to offer the song of invitation. Thank you.